Gideon is delivering a package, because that's her job. "Can I ask what's in this one?" she says, which is definitely not her job. Harrow stands framed by her doorway in black, faded-to-gray sweatpants and a chunky sweater with a wide collar that falls down one of her shoulders. Her short hair is unstyled. Not that there's much to style, only brushed vaguely forward, likely by Harrow's own thin, sleepy fingers. She probably hasn't been awake more than an hour. When Gideon asks this question, sometimes Harrow indulges her, and it's something mundane. Candles, meal replacement shakes, a new lighting setup. And sometimes the answer is a simple no. But once in a while, there's a tight smile pulling Harrow's mouth along with an incongruous darkening of her cheeks. She's rarely in her makeup around the time Gideon is making her deliveries, and Gideon quietly relishes the chance to study that imperious, sharp-angled face, and loves even more how easy it is to read when it's naked. Even her multitude of piercings, an incomplete inventory of which being a pair of spider bites peeking out from one side of her lower lip, a small stud in her nose on the opposite side, a safely tucked away septum ring, a barely there barbell in her left eyebrow, as well as a multitude of jewelry in her ears, are currently held in place by flesh tone retainers, only noticeable as small dots of slightly too light ochre against a backdrop of freshly showered skin. "Something for work," Harrow says, innocently. To which Gideon replies, totally casual, "Yeah? In fact, it's something I haven't used before, and I'd prefer to have some experience with it before I start filming, if you're interested." Gideon knows her eyes are lighting up at that, and makes no attempt to hide it. "Yeah, I'll be your guinea pig."
"You don't know what it is yet."
"I could take my lunch break a little early, and you could show me." That only gives Gideon half an hour, but she knows for a fact Harrow can make every minute count.
"I don't have my face on," Harrow says,
like that might somehow, in some universe, be a deal-breaker. Gideon leans in, the package still in her arms, her shoulder on the doorframe, and Harrow's nose is maybe 3 inches from hers. "Got a pretty good face from where I'm standing." Harrow glances over Gideon's shoulders, eyeing the street behind her and squinting into the too bright LA sun. She meets Gideon's eyes again, gaze darting just an instant down to her mouth, and kisses her quick before disappearing back into her house, the door left open for Gideon to follow. Harrow's house is fairly minimalist, most of it at least. Gideon knows now that she does her shooting in the spare bedroom converted into her studio, and it's decorated to the teeth with skulls and neon and all things theatrically macabre. But the rest of her house is clean, controlled lines in shades of black. She is, at heart, a goth minimalist, interrupted by only stacks of books and abandoned coffee mugs. Gideon sets the package down on the coffee table and sits on the couch, reaching down to unlace her boots, remembering the time Harrow made cryptic threats involving bloodletting for tracking dirt across her living room rug. Harrow pulls a small folding knife from somewhere on her person and begins cutting through the tape on the package. Gideon gets her boots off as Harrow is pulling a smaller box out of the discreetly labeled delivery cardboard. Gideon's eyes go wide, and she can't stifle a grin, which Harrow seems to take as a good sign. After a moment, Gideon's eyebrows come together. "Wait, seriously? You've never used a strap before?"
"You know I only do solo work. It's been on my wish list for some time, but a client only recently bought it and commissioned a custom vid for it."
Harrow has a good poker face, but Gideon still sees a tremor of uncertainty in the set of her hips, in her hands holding the box.
"Do you still want to be my guinea pig?"
God, yes, Gideon says, reaching for Harrow's legs and pulling her toward the couch. Do your worst, you sexy mad scientist. She looks down at Gideon, arching an eyebrow.
I'll remember you said that.
Harrow extricates herself from Gideon's arms and takes the box with her. Stay here, she says, and then, eyeing Gideon's uniform, matching sepia-toned shorts and a polo, take off your clothes. Gideon follows her instructions, throwing her crumpled uniform, underwear, all of it, on a chair out of the way and sits waiting on the couch. Harrow emerges after a few minutes, and it knocks the wind out of Gideon like a boot to the chest. Harrow's wearing very little, all told, but in addition to a pair of mean-looking boots covered in buckles and laces that give her a few inches of extra height, the only article of clothing, if you can call it that, is the harness. It's black, a swatch of dark lace overlaid on heavier fabric, giving the effect of a particularly sturdy garter belt. The phallus, smooth and black and simple, juts out at a slight, enticing curve from her pubic bone, and Gideon licks her lips reflexively. Harrow crosses the room like she's worn a fake dick 100 times before, her sharp angles moving with confidence and thirst-baiting fluidity. She reaches the couch, taking stock of Gideon and taking stock of her. Yeah, Gideon is parched. She turns around abruptly, and Gideon is surprised, albeit delighted, by the new view. Harrow's ass is small as asses go. Not that Gideon is remotely complaining, but the perfect sandy brown expanse of it gets a noticeable lift from the harness straps, and Gideon can't help but reach out a hand and get swatted gently away by Harrow looking over her shoulder. Tie me up, she says, and that makes Gideon's brain do a somersault until she realizes Harrow is referring to the corset-laced ribbon on the back of the harness, the laces dangling loose from glinting eyelets. Harrow probably could tie it herself. She has, Gideon knows, dexterous fingers, but she's letting Gideon feel useful. Gideon ties a neat bow and rewards herself for a job well done with a light smack to Harrow's slightly perkier than normal butt. Good to go, sweet cheeks. Harrow turns back to face her, expression playfully chastising, but with some heat behind the eyes that Gideon finds promising.
Would you like me to fuck you, Griddle?
That name still sets Gideon's teeth on edge, and it's not really fair that it's been transformed from a sound that's guaranteed to piss her off to one that makes a hot, swooping stone of arousal drop in her gut. I really would, my Stygian lady of eternal night. It's 12:30 in the afternoon, Harrow says, and she holds Gideon's chin, tips it up, and presses a thumb past her lips. To make a suggestion or to shut Gideon up? Most likely both. Show me how much you want it. Gideon slides her tongue over the pad of Harrow's thumb, and then her own hand is wrapping around the shining silicone dick, squeezing it experimentally. The yield is satisfying, just enough to give a vague simulacrum of flesh, without being entirely convincing. Harrow's nostrils flare minutely as she inhales. Looking up, Gideon wants to snake her hands up Harrow's breasts to pinch at naked, pierced nipples until Harrow makes breathy, needy sounds for her. But they're on a time crunch. Instead, Gideon begins stroking, hoping that the harness is giving her at least enough feedback to appreciate it. When Harrow lets her thumb fall out of her mouth, Gideon replaces it with the tip of the dildo, coating it generously in saliva. Aren't you beautiful? Harrow muses, and Gideon doesn't suppress her groan. She slides her hand past the seam of the harness, and yes, it split up the middle, leaving Harrow wide open for her searching fingers. She slides the tops of her first knuckles over the exposed vulva, petting the coarse, close-trimmed hair she finds like it's a skittish pussy, and Harrow moans above her. "I wouldn't recommend teasing me," says Harrow with a note of threat that makes Gideon's cunt throb. Gideon releases the silicone dick from her mouth long enough to give two of her fingers the same spit treatment, and then she's sucking it again, and her fingers are rubbing slick and fast over Harrow's clit. Harrow threads her own fingers in Gideon's hair, short, painted nails digging into her scalp, and hisses through her teeth. Gideon looks up, mostly to make sure that was a good kiss, and it definitely was, because she catches Harrow's eyes fluttering closed, her unreasonably thick eyelashes tickling at the tops of her cheeks. As much as Gideon loves to have Harrow's eyes on her, it's almost better when they're closed, because then she knows that Harrow has let at least a little, a shred of the performance fall away. Harrow is a good performer. She's got the subscribers to prove it, and she takes pride in the job well done. But Gideon lives to pull back the curtain and drive everything else out of that ambitious, clever, quietly gorgeous head until it's all Harrow can do to just lie back and take what she wants from Gideon, and to let Gideon give it to her. Harrow, on the other hand, makes Gideon senseless, like it's breathing, walking, blinking, like she hardly has to think about it, which regularly throws a frustratingly sexy wrench into Gideon's agenda. Harrow is thinking about it, of course. Harrow thinks about everything so much and so hard that Gideon sometimes thinks it makes her circle right back around being stupid. But then Gideon's thinking too much, and she focuses instead on Harrow's thumb at her cheekbone, dipping into the hollow as her lips stretch around that slicked-up phallus. "Mmm," Harrow says, grasping at lucidity through the shudders Gideon keeps drawing from her. "Your fingers. Fuck me the way you want it. Show me." Gideon decides to go for broke, bringing her two fingers to Harrow's opening and plunging in, timing it with her mouth working further down the strap, just on the cusp of gagging. "Fuck, Gideon," Harrow says, and it's the magic word, Gideon, not fuck, although that's good too. It's the sign that Gideon needs to fuck her earnestly, stroking at the wet, hot walls constricting her digits. For a handful of thrusts, she's matching the timing with her mouth, like there's synchronized sex to Roboros. But eventually, Gideon needs to be able to think and to focus, because as hot as this is, it's not her throat she wants Harrow to fuck. She lets the silicone dick fall out of her mouth with a wet and debaucherous pop, and her free hand is wedging itself between its mate and the harness, rubbing at Harrow's clit while her fingers are thrusting into her. Gideon rests her cheek, damp with sweat, on Harrow's hip as she works. It really doesn't take long before Harrow's pulling Gideon's hair hard enough to make her eyes water, and then it's just another stroke, another curl of her fingers before Harrow falls apart, trembling violent and beautiful around her. Harrow indulges in a few seconds to compose herself, panting as her hand falls away from the side of Gideon's head, and then she's taking half a step back, pushing Gideon by her shoulders until her back meets the couch. Gideon stares up at her and, knowing exactly what she looks like, takes the fingers that had been knuckled deep in Harrow a moment before and slides them into her mouth, making a little show of licking them clean. Gideon can perform too, when she wants to. Harrow watches, hands resting on her hips, and her attention makes fire bloom under Gideon's skin. Harrow bends to brace her arms instead on Gideon's thighs, and slides her knees in a movement that would only look to the most thoughtless observer like supplication. She leans forward, catches one of Gideon's nipples in her mouth, biting lightly at pebbled brown flesh with sharp white teeth, and Gideon digs her fingers into the couch cushions. Harrow makes her way down Gideon's abdomen with a trail of kisses and bites, stopping eventually to hover, breath ghosting over skin, just between her thighs. "I need to get you ready," she says, nipping at the juncture where leg meets hip. "Fuck, Harrow, I am so ready," Gideon says, sounding exactly as desperate as she feels. Harrow smiles, sweet and predatory. "I'll bet you are." She backs away again, which almost makes Gideon whimper. "Flip over, on your knees." Gideon obeys, clambering until she's kneeling on the couch, facing away from Harrow, her arms draped over the back. Harrow drags her fingers up the back of Gideon's legs, a wave of tingling goosebumps following in their wake, and Gideon arches her back wantonly. Rewarding the display, Harrow presses the flat of her palm against Gideon, a solid, diffuse pressure on her clit, and starts moving it in slow, wide circles. Gideon buries her face and moans into the couch cushion. "Can you take it yet, Griddle?" Gideon is nodding and forcing herself to say, "Yes, yeah, I can. Please." When Harrow replaces her hand with her mouth, and now she's not slow at all. Her hot, wet tongue drags over hot, wet flesh, and it's all Gideon can do not to ride her, not to push back and beg for it. She holds still, and her legs shake with the effort. Harrow's tongue slides down, or up, and in to Gideon, spearing her, joined by fingers sliding through her folds and working at her clit, fast and rough a moment later. Gideon loses it, can't even begin to hold back, coming with a shout against the couch cushions, her hair clinging to her forehead with sweat. Harrow presses soothing kisses to the backs of her thighs as she comes down. But it's hardly any time at all before Gideon is looking back at her and saying, "Can you please fuck me with that shiny new dick already?" Harrow says thoughtfully, and oh, fuck. Oh shit, Gideon knows that tone. Harrow makes a show of reaching for her phone on the coffee table, checking the time. "If I do that, I think you'll be late coming back from your lunch." Gideon makes a pathetic noise. "Then I'll be late, so what?" Harrow lands a light, shocking, agonizingly good little slap to Gideon's vulva, which makes her jump and stands up. "No," she says, breezy and devil-may-care. "I've already gotten you in enough trouble, don't you think?" It's a low blow. Some masterful trolling, and Gideon would be impressed if she weren't kneeling ass up on her couch and begging for it. Harrow and Gideon met properly months ago when one of her packages was delivered to the wrong house, and Harrow raised holy hell about it with the shipping company. Gideon nearly got fired. They've worked things out since then, but now that Gideon doesn't hold a grudge against it, Harrow seems to delight in antagonizing her. Harrow is a bitch, and Gideon likes her so much. "You are cruel," Gideon says, but she knows she's already lost and turns around, reclining back on the couch and trying so hard to stare at anything but the harness strapped around Harrow's hips. "Come back after your shift." "You're gonna leave me like this for..." She pauses to count off in her head. 5 hours?
It could be worse, Griddle. I got you off, didn't I?
Gideon sighs and smiles a little helplessly. Thank heavens for small mercies, I guess.
She gets up, starts gathering her clothes and putting them on, even though her sweat makes everything sticky and unpleasant. Hera disappears into her room again and emerges as Gideon's getting her boots back on. She's wearing the sweatpants from earlier and a plain black bra that Gideon wants to peel off with her teeth. Promise to pick up where we left off when I get back?
Hera gives her a thin, beautiful smile and pulls Gideon down for a chaste goodbye kiss that feels like Gideon's own cunt.
Fuck!
See you soon, Hera says, and closes the door behind Gideon as she leaves.